This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan. Transparency International Malaysia has said that it welcomes the asset declarations from members of the government via a public portal hosted by the MACC, but at the time of their press release noted that several deputy ministers were missing from the list. Transparency International Malaysia also notes that even those that have declared their assets, and I think this is the bigger problem that we will be discussing later on the show, even though they have declared their assets, they did not provide a detailed breakdown of their income. So today we're going to be discussing asset declaration. Why are they important in the first place? And what are the long-term solutions to the problem here in Malaysia? And to help me unpack it all, I have on Zoom Dr. Mohamad Mohan, the president of Transparency International Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Mohan. How are you doing today?
Thank you. Glad to be in your show.
Let's start just to give listeners a sort of a better understanding of the situation. What is the purpose of asset declaration in the first place?
The purpose of asset declaration basically is to prevent corruption, and also for transparency and public disclosure of assets for elected and public officials, as this will improve the confidence of the people and foreign investors, and to show that the government's commitment to transparency, integrity and good governance. See, the asset declaration requires the public official to declare not only their assets, their liability and financial interests. In many countries, public officials are required to declare their assets, income, and also assets of income of their spouses, children, and immediate family members. So this is the reason why asset declaration is very important for the elected officials.
And what are the major downsides if you don't demand that politicians, particularly ministers, to declare their assets?
Yeah. You see, the elected representatives, of course, in Malaysia's case, we have at the state level, which we call state assemblymen or ADUNs,
right.
And then we have the members of parliaments. Now, the ADUNs are currently, based on the whatever figure we have, they are remunerated around 10 times the minimum wage of an ordinary worker in the country. And MPs are probably remunerated 20 to 30 times more than the minimum wage. So in order to focus on delivering the best leadership and service to society, it is very important that these politicians declare their assets, because in the case of if there is some kind of bribery or luxurious gifts are given to these elected representatives or the ministers, and that will compromise their neutrality and integrity will come into question. Especially if in terms of legislation or awarding of contracts to individuals or organizations, and that will become a big issue for this minister. So that is why, in the best interest of these ministers, we as civil society, we want these ministers to declare their assets from the very beginning. So the public will know what do they have and so on. You see, if their assets are huge, people question and all that. But that's a separate issue, because many of these ministers who have come, who have taken up the job, they could have been very successful business people, you know. So it is nothing wrong to be rich. Nobody is questioning that. All we are asking is declare it, and then you have a clean start from there, so that in the following year, when it is updated, we know what has happened to your assets and things like that. That's the reason this is very important.
So a couple of days ago, Transparency International Malaysia sent out a press release. And in that press release, it was mentioned that only 57 out of 70 members of the cabinet were featured on the site, on this MACC site, right? But when I went and did a quick check, we found that there are 69 of the 70 members of cabinet already declared their assets. Can you clarify this for us, Dr. Mohan?
Sure. Thank you. Absolutely. You are right. Absolutely. Because at the moment, if you look at the MACC's website, 69 of the cabinet ministers, that means the deputy ministers and the ministers, have actually declared their assets. It's correct. Mm-hmm. When we made the analysis, you see, in the MACC's website, if you look at it, there are no details there. There's right. only a column to show you that. Have they declared the assets? Yes, there's a right tick over there. That's not good enough. So we made an analysis based on what they initially declared in 2020. Mm-hmm. At that time, only 57 of the members of the cabinet actually declared. And there were quite a number of ministers who did not declare at that time. So no doubt we applaud whatever they have declared. Everyone has declared. That's very good. But what we are saying to the government is that you need to have a full disclosure, because if you talk about transparency, it should be available at all the time. And if you take a closer look at the MACC portal, it mentions that it will be reported for 3 months and after that it will be removed, meaning that the details will be removed. And I think this is not what we call transparency. It is regardless of whatever reason they can justify, the best way is still for the elected representatives to have his full income and assets declared at any time. It shouldn't be after 3 months and then they remove it. That is not the right way. So you're right in a sense that 69 of them have actually declared their assets, but there are no details there. That's not good enough.
Hmm. And what sort of details are we looking for here specifically? Because why is it really a problem? If you want to dig deeper into it, why is this a problem that they are just, you know, putting a tick? Basically, if you go on the website, it's like their name and then there's a check mark there that says, yes, they have declared their assets. But that doesn't give us any details. Why is it a problem? And also, what are the other possible ways that ministers could make money besides their income? What exactly are we trying to scrutinize here?
See, let me repeat again. You see, mm-hmm. whatever we see at the moment on the portal with the tick there is not good enough, because you could have ticked, but the public doesn't know what exactly you have declared. Yeah. And I think they have a right to know, because they elected you. They trusted you and they put you on the job. And I think it is only right that you show them, because in the past, history has shown that many of the politicians were involved in some kind of corrupt practices or bribery and things like that. And that is why we don't want that. And so it is important that they declare. Now, what do we want to see? Basically, we want to see the source of income mm-hmm. and your income per month. Like, for example, if you Google and look at it, it was reported the highest government official, which is our Prime Minister, he earns about 93,000 a month in terms of income. He's the highest, you see? So that is the kind of information we need. But if you go and see the portal today, it is not there. You know, for some reason, they have taken it out. Now, what is the actual reason? Well, in the previous reports, from media reports, some lawmakers have said that, you know, they are worried about their safety, they're worried about their family safety, and so on. But I beg to differ in a sense that, you know, when you choose to be an elected representative, you have to be subjected to all this kind of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. You have to be prepared for that, because you are a public servant, you are meant here to serve the people and the society. And therefore, you need to be prepared for this. You know, this is not an excuse to give to just show a tick over in the portal and not having the details. So, as a civil society, we are talking about good governance and transparency and so on. Therefore, we urge the government to make it mandatory for all the electoral representatives to have their income as well as their assets declared, so that public knows where they are at the point when they start.
And exactly, right? Because when we talk about public knowing and public accountability, who actually keeps track or sort of scrutinizes these asset declarations right now? Because if they are just putting a tick there with no details, then how do we get anything out of it? Like who you know, sort of looks at that and says and verifies it and says, yes, the Prime Minister or the, you know, or the Deputy Prime Minister or whatever minister you may be in the cabinet, you have indeed declared your assets fairly, properly, and so on and so forth. Who is actually doing these checks right now?
Well, you see, let's go back to the days of Barisan Nasional when they were ruling. You see, at that time, the understanding was the ministers will have to declare it to the prime minister. As long as the prime minister knows, that is fine, you know, during that time. And of course, for us and civil society, and if you ask the general public, we are not happy. We don't know what is being declared, you know, and there could be a conflict of interest, or, you know, they could work in together, and, you know, and we don't know what they are declaring. Okay, then we came to the era of the Pakatan Harapan government, and they came up with the idea that all the cabinet ministers and also the opposition should declare. So they made a ruling in parliament. It was passed to say that the assets should be declared to the speaker, and a copy should be given to MACC. Now, what actually happened was the ruling members at that time, ruling government members, they all declared their income and their assets. You see? But what happened was the opposition at that time, who are now in the government now, refused. They first of all, they said there is no law to compel them to declare. And secondly, they argued that we are not in the government and therefore there is no need for us to declare. So it is like it's a voluntary kind of thing, and we will not get anywhere. So So that is the reason why at the end of the day, the answer to this is an asset declaration law for all lawmakers. They have to declare, whether they are at state level or at the federal level, they should declare, including the ministers.
And what does it signal when ministers aren't willing to openly declare their assets?
You see, it will give the impression to the public that the ministers are not transparent, number one. Number two, it will lead to rumors of corruption when in actual fact, the elected representative could be doing a sincere and honest job. You see, or the public will perceive it to be an indication that their involvement and sources of income outside their salaries might call to question on their neutrality and integrity. So elected representatives should realize that when they make a choice to be an elected representative, they have to be prepared for this type of scrutiny. So, you see, when you work in a transparent manner, you declare your assets, and even when you do like various projects or what in your what you call portal or on your Facebook, you know, feel free to declare what were your expenses, how much does it cost, how much you collected, how much was dispersed, what is the balance, and that kind of thing. So that kind of culture has not come. And this is the reason why you hear of a lot of accusations against ministers and so on. And sometimes this may not be true. So ministers have to recognize this and be confront. If you have nothing to hide, what is there to be afraid to declare your income and assets?
I think that's very well said. On the show with me today is Dr. Mohamad Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. After the break, I'll be asking him for long-term solutions to this problem of ministers not declaring their assets properly. We'll be back with more on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashrin Johan, and on the show with me today is Dr. Mohamad Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia, and we're talking about asset declarations by the Perikatan Nasional Ministers. So, Mohan, now, you know, you brought up something earlier about how these ministers, their reason or their excuse is that, you know, their safety might be in jeopardy, their family safety and things like that. What are they actually worried about here? Are they worried that, oh, if people find out that they are rich, so-called quote-unquote rich or making a lot of money, that people will try to rob them or hold their family as ransom or things like that? But if that is the case, I'm wondering, like, isn't that threat or that fear already there because you are an elected representative, right? People already know you are making a lot of money regardless whether you declare or not. So now we want to scrutinize where this money is coming from. So what do they mean when they talk about safety here?
Well, these were some of the comments we have seen in the media in the past. And, you know, they are worried about family safety and so on. To me, it doesn't hold water because there are a lot of business people who are much more richer than them. And we know who these business people are. Chairman of some companies, if you look at their annual reports, you will know what is the actually take home salary package per year. It can come to millions.
Yep.
You know, so the idea that, you know, they're under threat and so on doesn't hold water. As I said, you see, as a elected representative, you have a bigger responsibility for disclosure and being transparent than the ordinary people. And that is why my view is that whatever they can argue on safety and all that doesn't hold water. You know, so I personally don't agree that that is a good excuse they should give.
Certainly. Now, earlier you brought up about Pakatan Harapan and how they were willing to declare these assets and then they passed the copy to MACC. And, you know, even right now, like earlier, we want to, you know, give some praise to the ministers who are willing to come out and, you know, declare their assets. But why should we even need to, you know, cheer them on or clap for them when they do these things? Because, you know, shouldn't this be the standard? Shouldn't it be mandatory?
You are absolutely right. You know, it's unfortunate in Malaysia. It is, I'm confident that it is changing,
mm-hmm.
but it is in a very slow process. Ministers are for, you don't forget that 60 over years, they have been under one ruling party and they have been used to this. You know, as long as you declare to the Prime Minister, he knows what do I have, that's good enough. So that shift, even though government has changed, the shift is going to take some time. Now, let me just go back to the point that you raised up just now on Pakatan Harapan.
Right.
Now, even Pakatan Harapan, when they came into power, the declaration of asset didn't happen overnight. It took some time. And if you recall, the declaration was also in stages. When we scrutinized the lease, not everybody declared at one go. Some of them didn't declare. At least there were four or five ministers or MPs didn't declare. And then the public was raising these questions. Finally, they all declared. So even that is a very slow process. The only reason the PH government came and pushed this as one of the agenda for them, because it was part of their promises that they made during the election. So as a declaration was one of the things and so on. So they had no choice. They have to do that. So you are right in a sense that, you know, when you are elected, we want to bring, you see, the civil societies and the Malaysian citizens, what we should do is to continue to pressure on these politicians. Look, if you want a seat, if you want our vote, then you better abide by this. Of course, the best way is to have a law. And that law, once it is there, you will be given a certain period. The moment you come into office, within the first 3 months, you have to declare, for example. And if you don't, the law will take its own course, you know, that kind of thing. So this is where it's very important that that lawmakers slowly have to understand, and they have to, there is no need to applaud or clap our hands for those who are declaring it. You're right, they should be, they should know this and they should declare very openly and so on. So we hope this will slowly change, but at the end of the day, it's still a law that is the best. It will mandate these people to declare.
Before we talk about that law, right, what is the downside to voluntary asset declaration?
Okay, the downside to voluntary declaration is, you see, when you do voluntary, as I just said just now, they will take time. Even during the PH time, as I mentioned, not everybody came forward immediately. And I'm very sure during that time, Tun Dr. Mahathir, the Prime Minister at that time, or some of the party leaders has been forcing some of the party members who are in the cabinet to quickly declare. And then it came. Then you also saw during that period, the ruling members of the ruling government, PH at that time, declared. But the opposition, you know, people from UMNO or PAS or the other opposition at that time, they didn't declare. You know, so the reason is if you get it voluntary, well, number one, they will be very slow or they don't declare and you can't do anything. MACC cannot do anything. All right. And the number three is, maybe at that time, the leadership wants to do it. And then if you have another leadership who comes in, you know, who comes as a prime minister, he may not be, this may not be his priority. You know, so the whole thing fizzles out. And then we are back to square one again. So that is the reason why mandating these lawmakers to declare using a law will be the best solution in the long run.
Okay, so let's talk about that. The long-term solutions, you mentioned law a couple of times. What is the law that we need to put in place to solve this issue?
See, the long-term solution is you need to have an asset declaration law, all right? And this is exactly what was also proposed by MACC. And this is a long-term solution. Now, as I said earlier, if you make it voluntary, you know, by the Prime Minister, you know, voluntary, it is not sustainable. As I said, once the leadership change, these tend to disappear. And also, again, as I said earlier, we have seen it again during the PH government's time, even though that was in their promises, election promises, but it was a very slow process. So I would like to support the call made by MACC that they have recommended that an act be enacted in Parliament to make it compulsory for members of the government administration, the Parliament, and the Senate to declare their assets. But I would like to add here, all elected representatives, that means including the opposition, will have to declare their asset. And that is the only way. Right now, you see, where even if they don't declare, MACC cannot do anything. There is no clear punishment that can be taken against those who fail to do so. So that is the reason why the long-term solution is to have an asset declaration law for all lawmakers.
Now, Mohan, I want to switch gears a little bit. So recently, the Court of Appeal overturned the 2 million ringgit corruption conviction against former Federal Territories Minister Tengku Adnan Tengku Mansor, or more commonly known as Kunan. And this, you know, happened a few months after Musa Aman also got acquitted for various corruption charges. Now, what is Transparency International Malaysia's take on this?
Okay, while people might question the independence of the judiciary, and maybe some people are not happy with the outcome and so on, but we have to look at the ground of judgment on these cases. I will not go into the details of the judgment. The government has already filed an appeal on Kunan's case to the federal court. So we will wait for the final outcome. But what the outcome of the judgment bothers civil society is that it is a big blow in our fight against money politics and state capture, where large amount of money is channeled from businesses sector in the business sector to the political system under the pretext of political donations. So this decision could encourage politicians to strengthen their links with the business people and continue to solicit funds, especially during elections. Now, as you know, under the Election Offences Act, an ADUN is supposed to spend only around 100,000 ringgit. And an MP is only allowed to spend up to 200,000 ringgit. But I think those of us who have seen through the last few elections, and the way the expenditure is being spent, it is, I think, way beyond the amount stipulated in the Election Offences Act. So, unfortunately, there are no laws to compel politicians or political parties to declare political donations and record cap in a public registry. So, for us as Transparency International, we have been pushing for this for the past 12 years. We call it the 12 political funding in Malaysia. And a bill was actually ready during the PH government's time. But unfortunately, when the PH government collapsed, it was not being tabled in Parliament. It was supposed to be tabled, I think, in March last year. So it was very unfortunate this did not happen. But we hope that the PM government will take it up from there and have this passed, and so that it will be regulated. Political funding should be regulated. So this is where the outcome of this decision has disturbed a lot of citizens as well as civil societies, because we are very worried the repercussion of that decision. But nevertheless, we are not disputing the decision. We will leave it to the courts to decide. It has now gone to the federal court. So we should wait for the outcome of the decision.
Certainly. Now, perhaps on a more positive note, MOA MP YB Said Sadeh has been very vocal recently about politicians needing to be transparent. In fact, he has been speaking up. He's one of the people in PH who has talked about this in the past as well. now he seems to be walking the talk. He recently announced that he's engaging Ernst & Young to audit his RM 872,000 ringgit collected for his one family, one laptop and one family, one tablet programs. Is this a step in the right direction?
Well, definitely. We have to give him credit. He's the first one probably who have come and said, I'm appointing an auditor and so on. Mm. Now, as a message to all the other MPs or lawmakers or aduns or so on, you need not have to engage the big four auditors to audit your funds, you know, or whatever you have done in donations or whatever program or project you've done. But you can have the tier two auditors who might cost you less. You can have, but definitely this is the right step in the direction, because this is the problem. As we talked from the very beginning, when funds are allocated, especially you see during this pandemic, as we all know, almost $540 billion in stimulus packages were rolled out by the government. Unfortunately, because of the emergency and Parliament was not sitting, what happened was there was no scrutiny, no debate. And how these funds are being channeled, we do not know. You know, so the approach taken by YB Syed Saddiq to have auditors look at his account is something good. And it should be published. When the report is ready, it should be officially announced, and it should be in his website or something like that. So I think this is a step in the right direction. And that is what we should do, because people who don't declare and allow for scrutiny, then there will be a lot of questions asked. Sometimes, as I said, he could be genuinely doing his job, but there will be people accusing him. So the best way is to disclose all your expenses and have it audited. So what he's doing is a right step that he's saying, and perhaps that could be the new way of all the elected representatives to declare their expenditure and so on. So I support what he is doing.
All right. On that note, thank you so much for speaking to me today, Dr. Mohan.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me in your show. Thank you. Bye.
That was Dr. Mohamad Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia, giving us the lowdown on asset declarations. I mean, why is it important for ministers to not just declare their assets, but also provide detailed breakdowns of their income? So if you missed any part of the conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and you've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.